Proverbs chapter 7, please. Proverbs chapter 7. We're speaking over and over again the words, my son. For example, in chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. In chapter 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. In chapter 1, verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. And in chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandments with thee. And so, through the first 7 chapters of Proverbs, Solomon says over and over again the words, my son, my son. Now, of all the things that he admonishes his son to do, the thing most oft repeated is to be careful about what? You tell me. Strange women. Yes, this is the thing he admonishes his son concerning again and again and again. And he sums it up in chapter 7 when he describes the workings of a strange woman and even goes into detail to show his son how a strange woman will behave and act and try to lure him into sin. Now, this is a background chapter, but I want you to read, follow me please, as I start reading the Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 6. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a man, a young man, void of understanding. Now, this young man was an easy prey for a strange woman because he was void of understanding. You see, he didn't have a father who attended the midweek service, the First Baptist Church, and he didn't have the privilege of knowing he ought to talk to his son. As I said, every son has a right to have a dad who will talk with him. And every daughter has a right to have a mother who will talk with her and teach her and teach the boy and girl the things they ought to know about life. And so this young man was void of understanding. Now verse 8, passing through the street. Now did we not learn that young people should not hang around in the street? I pause to make this observation. Young men, behind me and in front of me, when you have a date, you plan the date. You plan everything that's going to go on the date. Don't you just sit around and talk with each other. Don't you just drive around the town and look at the lights. Don't you just hang around the living room and talk about something of interest to each other. You plan activity. Every moment that you're together, you plan what you're going to do, and it'll help you to stay out of trouble. Also, I say this too. I would advise a young person not to hang around anywhere very much, even a good hamburger joint. Now, when you go to a good hamburger joint, you buy your hamburger. When you get through with your hamburger, go home. Even Maid Rites. That's where most of our people go. Maid Rites is the only place in town that has a bigger congregation on Sunday night than I do. And our people take off for there. But I'm saying that even good places can become bad places. An idle mind is the devil's workshop, and a person that just hangs around anywhere doing nothing is an easy prey for the devil. And this young man was passing through the street, notice, near her corner, and he went away to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. You see, he went out in the twilight, then he stayed for the evening, and then he stayed in the black and dark night. He stayed out too late. And I say again, be careful what time you come in and get in at a decent hour. Verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. I pause to make the observation I made before. Young ladies, be careful what you wear. And be careful what you don't wear, too. Be careful what you wear. Summer's coming. Dress modestly. Be decent. Be Christian in your apparel, in your attire. Be sure that what you wear is what you'd want to wear if Jesus Christ came and found you clothed in the garment you're wearing. Always dress so as you be pleased if Christ came again and found you in that condition. Notice again, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is wild and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. We have learned in our study that young ladies should not be loud and should not be aggressive. We have warned our young ladies about calling boys on the telephone. We have warned them about being the aggressor. We've tried to teach young ladies to be young ladies and let men... have you been reading lately about the articles concerning what the English people think about America? About the ladies taking over the nation? One of the things that we ought to be careful about is young lady being loud and stubborn and feet abiding not in her house. The other night I taught that handshaking, that a young lady should shake hands with a man only if he extended his hand first. And boy, have I had the repercussions about that. The only thing about it, if you're concerned about any of the folks, and I'm concerned about decent behavior. You're concerned about what the book says. I'm concerned about what's right to do. I personally feel that no young lady should ever be forward enough to extend her hand to a man. I think the man should be the one to extend his hand first. Now, you say, well, how Emily Post doesn't believe that, well, she's dead, and she was wrong while she was alive. But Emily Post didn't write the Bible. I think that a young man should be the aggressor in everything, and young lady should not ever be outwardly aggressive. And that's just sort of howlsology, but I still think it's true, and so forth. Now then, verse 12, now she is without. Let me stop and say a word. She never should have gone out this time of night by herself. I shudder. I cannot believe my eyes when I see young ladies walking up down these streets, 10, 11 o'clock at night, without any kind of male chaperone or adult chaperone at all. I walk drive down the streets from church late at night after a wedding rehearsal or after counseling late in the night or coming back from the hospital sometimes at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'll see young ladies walking down the street, a couple of them, 14, 15, 16 years of age. You're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. And so she was out for a long time. Notice now, verse 12, now she is about, now in the street, and lieth in wait at every corner. She caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings. And the father is talking to the son. Can't you picture the father talking to the son? I made mention last Sunday morning about my mother always saying, now son, be careful about bad women. That's exactly what Solomon's doing here. Exactly. My sister said last night, she said, Jack, she said, did you know that that's not what mother taught me? She said, she taught you that all women were bad. She said, she taught me all men were bad. And so my mother's the only person in the world thinks everybody's bad except me and my sister. But that's what he's doing here. Solomon is talking to his son. Now he's saying, son, this is what's going to happen. This is the way you'll be tempted. He said, you'll be simple some night, none of the stuff walking down the street. You'll be out too late. You'll be bored of understanding, and some young lady's going to walk up, flirt with you. She's going to be out where she shouldn't be out. She's going to dress in enticing clothes, and before you know it, she's going to lure you, and she's going to kiss you, and then here's what she's going to do. Now, he even goes more in detail. Notice in verse 14, and said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vow. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face. His face nothing. She was seeking any boy's face. And I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love unto the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. So the goodman is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she calls him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a flew to the corruption of the flock. Now, Solomon is talking to his son. And he's saying, son, this is the way it's going to happen. Now, if anybody knew, Solomon did. He had 1,000 gals. And if anybody knew, he knew how you got tempted. And Solomon was saying, now, son, you listen here. You listen to me. This is the way it'll happen. Listen, women ruined Solomon. His lust for women ruined what he could have been. And so he's advising him. Now, in chapter 7, we have a picture of a strange woman luring a young man. Now, in chapter 9, wisdom tries to lure a young man. Actually, chapter 7 and chapter 9 are pictures of two suitors trying to lure a young man. A young man is going to make his choice between chapter 7 and chapter 9. In chapter 7, it's a young woman. In chapter 9, it's wisdom. And in chapter 9, wisdom talks in the first person. Look down to chapter 9 and verse We have to look at chapter 8 to find this. Chapter 8 and verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Now, from chapter 8, verse 12, through chapter 9, wisdom is speaking in the first person. Wisdom is talking to Solomon, just like the young lady talked to him in chapter 7. Now, what we're picturing here is a young man. Let's say a young man's walking down the street. On one side is a young lady, and the lures and temptations of chapter 7. On the other side is wisdom, in the lures of wisdom in chapter 9. Now, every young person in this house, every person for that matter, but especially every young person, will choose between chapter 7 and chapter 9. Every one of you. You will choose between the wicked lady or the wicked temptations of chapter 7, or you will choose the wisdom of chapter 9. Now, every person in this house chooses the purity and the decency of chapter 9, or you choose the yielding to temptation of chapter 7. And so in chapter 8, wisdom starts talking and talks to the first person. And then in chapter 9, wisdom prepares her house for you and tries to lure you to herself. So we have a luring lady in chapter 7. We have luring wisdom, or another luring lady, you might say, in chapter 9. Now, before we get to chapter 9, I want you to notice a few things about wisdom in chapter 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Now, prudence is acting out wisdom. Wisdom is what you know. Prudence is putting it in practice. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now wisdom is talking. When it says, those that seek me early shall find me, oftentimes this is preached about, and the preacher says, that's the Lord says, those that seek me early shall find me. That's true, but that's not what the verse teaches. The verse teaches that those that seek wisdom early shall find me. You know, I think sometimes we make a mistake in talking about the wisdom of old age. Now, I grant you there is a certain wisdom of old age. There's some things you cannot learn without experience. I grant you that. But I also grant you that you can be wise when you're young, too. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was pastor of the largest Baptist church in London, England, when he was 20 years of age. 20. I think that God will give young people wisdom. That's what he's talking about here. They that seek me early shall find me. Now, why do young people need wisdom? Why do you need wisdom early? I'll tell you why. You set your habits while you're young. You set your discipline and your schedule while you're young. You develop your principles while you're young. You don't change as easy when you get older. I'm the kind of fella, I'm sought in my way. I want to sleep the same bed, same spot on the bed, same pillow, same spot on the pillow, same side of the pillow, every night. I mean, I don't worry about moving anything. Yesterday, I came to my bathroom to brush my teeth. Just as simple and kind and normal as any husband would do. And I happen to like Colgate toothpaste. Now, I don't want Ipana. I don't want, what's this kind that burns while you brush it? Latrines. I don't want Latrines. And it's my wife is the opposite. I mean, if bigamy were lawful, she'd be a polygamist. She'd change husbands every day. She likes to change. And so there was what Hamilton's toothpaste? What time? Trust white. And so I looked at it, and it says, this is for the teeth of smokers. Now, I did not know my wife had found out. But I went and I said, is there anything wrong with a fella using the toothpaste he wants? I mean, is there anything wrong with it? And to me, now when you get my age and your age, some of you are ageier than I am, more aged than I am, but we don't change easily. And all of that, you can't teach a fella who's 40 years old character too much. He's developed his character. His integrity is made. Now you can arrest the mistake, but you cannot completely make him. But now these folks, you can. You can. And that's why you need wisdom while you're young. You have to choose a husband or a wife. You need wisdom to do that. You have to choose your vocation. You have to choose your, that's what George Bernard Shaw said. He said it's too bad that old age comes after you're too old to enjoy it. And you don't all the sense you have, you haven't got the strength to use your sense. But while you're young, you've got to choose your calling. You have to choose your vocation. You have to choose your husband and wife. And you need wisdom now. You don't need wisdom when you're 40 to choose a husband and wife. Now, unless you go to Hollywood and live. You'll need wisdom at 10, 30, 40, 50, 60, every other year you'll need some wisdom. But not normal Christian people. Now's the time you need the wisdom. And so seek it early, he said. Now notice verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, wisdom. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. He said, my riches are durable. Now then, let's go to verse chapter 9, verse 1. Bear in mind now, we're going to be going from chapter 7 to 9 and using both chapters. In between, here's a young man, the son of Solomon. Here's a young man with choices to make. He must choose the lure of chapter 7 or the lure of chapter 9. He must choose the decked beds of the harlot in chapter 7 or the prepared table of wisdom in chapter 9. Wisdom is seeking the young man. Sin is seeking the young man, the harlot. And wisdom is talking in chapter 9 as she talks to the young man. Notice now, wisdom hath builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Now, wisdom is talking about herself in the third person here. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath set forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Now, in these three verses, wisdom says, I have prepared something for you too. In contrast with what it says back in chapter 7, when the lady said, I have decked my bed with tapestry. I have put on my bed perfume and aloes and cinnamon. And the young lady prepares the lure for the young man. Just as the young lady prepared the lure, wisdom prepares her lure. And in chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, we have the lure of wisdom. Notice again, she has built her house. Wisdom says, young men, come to me. I have a house for you. Notice again, she has hewn out her seven pillars. Look at these beautiful pillars, the strength of this house. Young man, come to me. And the wicked lady says, come to me. My bed is made and decked with tapestry and smelling with perfume and aloes and cinnamon. Come with me. And wisdom says, no, come with me. I have a strong house with seven pillars, beautiful hewn. Come with me. And the young lady says, no, come with me. Look, my husband is gone on a trip. The good man is gone. Come with me. And she kissed him and lured him. And wisdom said, no, come with me. Look at the strong house I have for you. And so she continues presenting her case. Now let's go further. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. The young lady in chapter 7 furnished her table, prepared her house for the contenting of this young man. Now wisdom says, I want to show you what I've got. I've got a meal prepared for you. I've got a strong house. I have meat on the table. I have a good meal prepared for you. Come with me! And the young lady says, come with me! Listen, young man, there is not a day of your life. But what the strange woman will say, come to me. Come to me. And the same day wisdom says, come to me. The strange woman says, have fun today. Wisdom says, have fun tomorrow. The strange woman says, live for now. Wisdom says, live for when you get older and live for your future. The strange woman says, have a good time now. And wisdom says, you'll be sick tomorrow and have an unhappy life and you'll be sorry. And there's the constant battle all the time. The young lady says, come, look at my bed. Smell my house. Notice what I prepared it for you. And wisdom says, I don't have the bed with cinnamon, perfume, aloes, and the beautiful tapestry, but I have a strong house for you, and I have a wonderful table spread. You come with me, and there's a constant battle all the time. Look at me. You will have that battle until your foot's in the grave. You'll have to always be there. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good a Christian you are. You will always have that battle. The temptation to go wrong, the temptation to go right, and here's the battle. Notice verse 3. She has sent forth her maidens. I like this. There's a lady in verse 7 who's luring, but in wisdom also has some girls for you too. You see, God made a man for woman and woman for man. Then God wants a young man to have a young lady, and God wants you to get married normally. The normal relationship is marriage, and God wants you young ladies to have a young man. And that's the normal thing. But the young lady says, the big thing is come and fill yourself with love now. Wisdom says, oh, no, that's not it. The big thing is come to the strong house and the table that's spread. But he said, I also have some maidens. There's some good girls in here, too. Young friends, look, you don't have to settle for second best. If you'll get in the will of God and follow after wisdom, God will give you first best. God's got somebody. He said, I'm afraid if I don't stop on the park road and on the dark road and park and stop on the park road in dark, I'm afraid if I don't step next and let him up on me, I'm afraid I won't get today. I say, then you don't have a God that can part the Red Sea and cause the sun to stand still and feed the 5,000. Your God's a little puny God that couldn't give you a decent husband, isn't he? So you've got to sell out. You've got to sell your virtue. Let somebody rub on you like a cat rubs on a post somewhere and park and sell your virtue and kiss all every old boy that'll go with you. You'll be an easy prey and an easy tap for anybody. You're afraid God can't give you a husband. Well, God won't. Now, I'll tell you one thing. If you'll act like this Christian ought to act in the kind of young lady God wants you to have, God's got a straightforward, strong young man out yonder waiting for you somewhere that'll make hay out of that fella you that tried to steal from you the precious things you have and tried to rub on you and tried to kiss you and tried to park in a dark lane somewhere and tried to make you do things you shouldn't do. God has some decent men. He'll give you one of them if you'll be a decent girl. But God can't give you a decent man if you're not a decent girl. Strangest thing to me, when I was in the service, wicked men would go out and live in sin. I mean awful sin. Get hotel rooms and get wicked women and live like dogs and cats. And I'd say, you have a girl back home? Sure. What kind of girl is she? Oh, fine. Does she do what you're doing? Well, of course not. I wouldn't have her if she did. I said, you're as sorry as the devil. You're as sorry as the devil. You wouldn't have her if she were impure, but you go out and live like an animal somewhere and you give her a second-hand, second-rate one. Everybody wants a clean mate, then why don't you give your mate a clean mate then? I'm simply saying that God has young ladies for you young men. You young men. Rick Lane Scott came to the day and said they don't call him a square anymore at school. They did call him a square because he lived for God. Now they call him a cube. He's not a square anymore. He's a double square. He's a cube now. And the other things I know about Rick, too, are some things that I can tell you that bless your heart. But I'll say this. Because he's clean, because he lives right, and because the rest of these kiddos do, God's got a young lady outside somewhere. And God's got one that's clean that he can point to with pride and say, that's mine. God's got a lot of girls. God's got a lot of clean girls. So, wait for them. Wait for them. Young ladies, you say, well, I'm only 17. I just don't have a steady boyfriend yet. Well, you're an old man. You're an unclaimed blessing. I'm not a girl, but I had rather live and die without a man than cheat to get one and get a cheat for one. You boys think it's smart to misbehave with girls. Think it's sort of cute to act toward a girl like heathens act. What a shame. Why don't you straighten up and stand up like a man in a clean and pure? God still wants people to walk down the street clean and decent and honest and pure and upright and moral and with chastity and purity and integrity. So choose wisdom. Wisdom says, look here, I've got a strong house with pillars and I have some girls too. I have some maidens too. And I've got clean girls for you. And you may not get one right now. I may have to wait and see if you mean business. But come on to me, says wisdom. The young lady lurks in the dark, says, come with me. I'll take you right now. You will have a lot of fun tonight. And you may be in hell tomorrow. And you may have an awful breaking of health tomorrow. And you may have your life ruined tomorrow. But tonight, let's live it up. There's something more than tonight. For 5 minutes of sin, many a person has wrecked his entire life. So there's the constant luring of the two suitors. Now, notice in verse 3, she hath sent forth her maidens. I like this. Wisdom, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Now I want you to notice, wisdom calls where from where? The high place, the low place? Highest place of the city. Turn back to chapter 7, please. I want you to notice chapter 7, verse 8, where the lady cries from, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. How did the young lady call for him? Out in the open? No, in the black and dark night. How did wisdom call for it? On the housetop. My mother used to say to me, son, be above board in everything. Don't ever be underhanded. Be above board. And then she used to say, too, she said, son, when the lights go down, you come home. When the lights go down, you come home. That's one reason why I hate a church that's dark with a purple passion. That's one reason why, listen, there's one thing I've learned. This church has grown since I've been here, but our light bill has quadrupled. You folks who were here when I came, recall when I came over here, and we started putting lights in, and we put lights in, and put lights in, and painted the walls brighter, and put more lights in, and put fluorescent lights in, and brightened that place up. Had a big dome up in the top, and right at the top it said, God is light. You could hardly see it because it was so dark up there. We put lights in. Listen, you look it down. Liberal churches are the ones that have candlelight services. Vance Abner says, when the candles go on, that's time the power went off. Look, any time a people turn down the light, there's something they don't want you to see. Always is. Listen, some of these little leaf-in, lift-out joints around here. Always dark and dingy. You know why? You turn the lights on, you'll find out why. You have rats and spiders and cobwebs and everything else you're calling out. Well, I know we bought one time across the street. I said, never got that place all cleaned out from these religious people. And so, be careful. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Not heaven. You know darkness in heaven. But in hell, it'll be out of darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so, the young lady cried in the darkness, in the street corner, in the dark place. But wisdom stands on the highest top in the city and says, look at me, I have nothing to hide. Look at my house, look at my pillars, look at my maidens. Here I am, all out the open, look at it. And the lady said, come over in the dark. Come over in the dark. And so the young man looks and wonders which way he ought to go. Shall he go to the dark places with the young lady and have a little fun tonight? Or shall he go to the highest place in the city where wisdom stands welcoming him and offering him a happy future and a decent life and a happy home someday and a conscience that doesn't bite him as he goes to sleep at night and doesn't keep him lying awake and tossing in bed wishing he hadn't done it and wishing he could relive it? Wisdom says, come here on the highest spot. And what you do, you want everybody to see you. And sin says, come over here in the dark places. The young man looks and doesn't know where to go. Notice again, please. Verse 4. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Same thing it says in chapter 7. The simple one. I beheld one of the simple ones. And so wisdom says, come to me. And the lady says, come to me. Notice now. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish. She's saying, forsake that gal in chapter 7. And live and go in the way of understanding. Let me stop a minute. These young people, we have weddings coming up. John Olson is mad because his class is the college-age class. And along about this time, they start getting married. And by September the 1st, he has no class. They've all gotten married. John, if you don't want your daughter to marry that guy, you talk to John Olson. He'll talk her out of it, I think for sure, because he wants it more, less than you do. But anyway, as a pastor, I have some sweet stories I can tell you, but I won't because of their secret. But here's a young lady, and some young fellow sweeps her off the seat. I've seen it happen again and again in this church. And she thinks that he is Sir Galahad with shining armor on a white horse. And he's a dirty crook. Or else he's immoral. Or else he's after her for something other than what's right and pure and decent. Or else he wants to take away from her that which is rightly hers. And I have sat in my office by the hour and I said, young lady, listen, hear me now. That's not the kind of young man you want. You can rise above that. Rise above that kind of life and the kind that drink and curse and want to do wrong with you. Rise above that! And I have begged and I have pleaded and I have cried and parents have helped me and I've helped him and we butted our heads against the wall and then, blessed be God,
One day the light dawns on her, and she gets some sense in her face. Go. And she says, okay, okay. And sometimes she'll say, well, I don't think you're right. I don't think Mama's right. I don't think Daddy's right. But I'll just do it anyhow. And then she waits, and she waits. And then one day in church, a young man walks the aisle and gets converted. And he becomes one of the finest young men. And then pretty soon he begins to look over here while I'm preaching and doesn't get a thing I say. And, you know, I don't miss if you get what I say or not if you're doing what I say. I mean, I don't mind you recognizing a good girl. You see, I don't mean you to wink at her or anything like that. But I mean, if you just look at her and, you know, say hello in a little sweet way, that's okay. I like that. If you got a good one. And I see them fall in love. And I see a lot of things in this book that you don't know I say. And I see them fall in love. And I see them as they start to court. And then pretty soon they come over to the office after the service. And Brother Hyle, who wants to talk to you? I mean, I can tell when I see I can tell it's that wedding bell look in their eye, you know. And I say, well, what is it? Now, that's one of the wastest words, most wasted words I have used. What is it? Well, we've just sort of been thinking. Well, I've even been thinking. What have you been thinking about? Well, we've just been thinking quite a bit. Yeah, I know. What's the thing quite a bit about? Oh, a lot of things. Well, anything in particular? Well, we've been thinking. Yes, everything's in particular. Well, I said, what date did you have in mind? Now, I'll be honest with you. My heart just pounds, and I just rejoice. I just sort of feel like it's sort of worth it all, you know? You beat your head against the wall, and you say, no, listen, that's not the right kind of guy. He's not the one for you. You want somebody praying. Wait, some God gives you somebody. Listen, God has some wonderful young men waiting for young ladies at the lowest little stages there. And God's got some good girls there, too. But you know how? Now, here's the tragic thing about it. Tragic thing is you young people in the church here making fun of them because they want pets, so forth. That's a tragic thing. Bad enough for heathen people to make fun of folks and call them fanatics. But bad enough for that. But when the people of our church began to make fun, that's pretty tough on the kids. That's pretty rough on them. So, and every young man has the choice. Let's go down to verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he will hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. What's it saying? It's saying if you've got sense, you'll listen to what I'm saying. That's what he's saying. He's saying if you rebuke a scorner or a fool, he'll hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love you for it. Give instruction to a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. He's saying, young man, listen. On this side, you've got the darkness of a tempting, wicked woman. On this side, wisdom says, come to my house. The woman says, come to my house. And wisdom says, I have a big, beautiful house. And when the woman says, I have a soft light and music playing. And wisdom says, but look at the streaks of my feathers. And the woman, with the strange woman, says, but smell the perfume in my room. And wisdom says, but come to me. I have some fine young ladies too. But the strange woman says, I have my bed. That's with the best tapestry. And the good one's gone. Just you and I. We'll have fun tonight. And wisdom says, don't listen to that foolish woman. Come to me. I've got something that stands on the housetop. And you'll be proud to show. One of these days will bring you joy. And the strange woman says, don't you listen to that wisdom. Wisdom wants you to be a fanatic. Wisdom doesn't want you to have any fun. Wisdom wants you to be an old stick in the mud. Wisdom doesn't want you to live it up. Wisdom doesn't understand young people. Wisdom doesn't understand teenagers. And wisdom says, listen, that lady is a fake. She's a liar. She'll be through with you tomorrow or tonight. And her way is the way to hell. Go listen to her. You may have a little fun tonight, but how about tomorrow and the next day and the next year and the rest of your life? Come to me. I'll make your life happier every day than it was the day before. But the lady says, see, he's a fool. He doesn't understand the 20th century. Wisdom's sort of a nut. Wisdom doesn't understand the psychology of teenagers. He never wrote an article in teenage magazines. He doesn't understand that. And wisdom said, young man, listen, if you've got any sense, a wise man will get wiser when he hears instruction, but a fool will be getting mad at you and rebuke you when you instruct him. Now listen to me, young man. Listen to me. And every young man, I don't care who he is,
has to look each way and decide which house he's going to live in. Make up your mind. But I'll tell you what you better do. Before you decide, you might have better go back in and talk to some of the Marines of the Rescue Mission first. Not be wise if you did that. Might better talk to them. You might have better talk to that fellow I talked to at the stage in the Rescue Mission the other night before you decide which choice you make. You might be surprised to find out that where some of these fellows started down was right where some of you folks are tempted to start right now. Right now. You might have better compare first the folks that end up down here on Skid Row to some of the happy people in this house, in this building tonight, who have chosen to live in Wisdom's house. Not as dark, doesn't smell as good in Wisdom's house, but it's life, and there's lasting joy, and there's a happy family, and there's conscience that's free, and there's no remorse, and there's no disease caused by wicked sin. It may be a little more fun tonight, following the darkness of the late young lady's temptation. And so chapter 9:7 says, come to me, and chapter 9 says, come to me, and chapter 7 says, smell my perfume, and chapter 9 says, look at my house, and every young person has to choose which way you go. Let's go further. Let's down to verse 12. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. This is very interesting. That if you choose wisdom, if you choose to come to my house as wisdom, in the end, you'll have a lot of friends. If you choose to go with that lady, you'll bear it by yourself in the end. Listen to me. Brother Fisk, Brother Colson, how many times the fellow comes to Rescue Mission and says, I chose wisdom when I was a boy, got me a good Christian education, served the Lord, read the Bible, lived a clean life, went with a good kind of girl, got married, had a Christian home, and now I'm all by myself in the world, nobody cares anything about me, and my health is broken, and I need some help. My Christian wife kicked me out, and the church people wouldn't have anything to do with me, and my Christian children wouldn't do. How many times have you ever heard that story? Not at all. How many times have you heard the story about the fellow that chose the 7th chapter of Proverbs? I chose the dark way. I chose the taverns. I chose the beer bottle. I chose the nightclub. I chose the glistening. I chose the one night of thrill. I chose the wicked woman. You might better find out where they end up before you make a choice. You might better decide where the end is. Verse 13. Oh, wisdom. Wisdom's doing a little proselyting here. You know, anybody knows you shouldn't talk bad about your opponent. About your rival. When I was a kid, I had a girlfriend named Shirley Ray Warren. And she liked Billy Shockley, Mom. Remember Billy Shockley? She liked that ugly, big, fat sloth better than she did me. And I never could understand it. I was just the right size and handsome and charming and delightful. And I was in the third grade. And so I tried to win her for myself, you know, by my own faith. And I said, dear Shirley, and I wrote her some real corkers and some notes. And I said, I'll like you if you will like me. And I like you. You're the prettiest girl in D class. And don't you like me? And I couldn't get her that way. So I decided to start a campaign against Billy. Well, I'd heard Billy said some awful words. So I said, dear Shirley, Billy cusses and I don't. Now, do you like me or Billy? She'd write back and say, I like Billy. And I decided I was going to lambast that guy. And you know, the more I talked bad about him, the better she'd like him. I guess she liked the cussing type. I don't know. But you know, I couldn't get her that way. But now, wisdom here says, I'm going to talk about my rival here a little bit. I want to tell you something about my rival. This 7th chapter, I want to tell you what she's trying to do. Notice. A foolish woman is clamorous. Now, here's what that says. Now, ladies, look, would you get in a good mood? <A minute. laughs> I say, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm going to. Now, in the original language, here's what it says. An empty-headed woman talks a lot.
That's what it says here, isn't it? I didn't write it. I was just reading it. Here's what it says. A foolish woman is clamorous. What it really means, an empty-headed woman talks a lot.
How many men are married to empty-headed women?
You know what I'd wait for if I were a young man? I'd wait for a young lady that could still blush. I'd wait for a young lady that didn't know all there was to know about the worldly ways. I'd wait for a young lady that didn't talk a lot, and wasn't loud and boisterous. I'd wait for God to give me a young lady that was feminine and quiet and sweet. I don't mean it's wrong to talk, but I think when men and ladies get around each other, the man ought to do most of the talking. I didn't do it. And so, Wisdom said, look, I won't tell you about this gal in chapter 7. I won't tell you about that she's empty-headed and she talks all the time. Now in verse 14, Wisdom keeps talking about chapter 9 starts talking about chapter 7. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high place of the city. What's this? She comes up to our spot and tries to lure the good boys. To call passengers to go right on her on their way. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. Now listen what she says. Listen what the wicked woman says. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. The little sign that I kid about sometimes, but it's the devil's way. It says, everything I enjoy is either immoral or fattening. You ever see that sign? Now, that's about the way the devil wants us to feel. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Turn to Proverbs 20, verse 17, in connection with this. Proverbs 20, verse 17, it says something about this. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards, that's a good sermon for somebody to preach, but afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. You take the bread of sin, you eat the delicacies of sin, you take the tender morsels of sin, it'll taste good right now. But afterwards, it'll taste like gravel. It's not true, dear friends, that the best, sweetest drink is the stolen drink. I believe, and I'm going to be very frank about this, I believe that a man, a godly man, can marry a godly woman. And I believe there can be just as much thrill in romance as there can be the first night of an unholy union. And more thrill. I'm not talking about mental satisfaction. I'm talking about physical thrill. We've got the idea that, I hate it. I hate it. Well, yeah, if you're fussing, you're acting like married people. That's the devil's way we talk. That couple's married. They're sitting way apart from each other. Look at it. She's over on that side. They're married. That couple's not married. There's 10 more to sit in the seat beside them. They're not married. What we're teaching ourselves and what we're making ourselves believe is that there's more fun in that which is forbidden and that which is not forbidden, and that is a stinking lie. There's not more fun. There's more fun in that which is upright. There's more fun in that which is decent. There's more fun in that which is pure. There's more fun in that which is godly. And on to that, but it gets more fun every day. Stolen waters, she says in verse 17, the wicked woman says, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But here's what Wisdom says, but he knoweth not that the dead are there. There's poison in that bread. It may taste better, but look, suppose I came tonight and gave you a good local, what kind of bread around here? Wholesome, this is wholesome bread sold here. Wholesome bread. And then over here I had the best tasting bread. Oh, boy, it was delicious. Only one little thing wrong with this, it's poison, it'll kill you in a few minutes. Oh, but it's good. Huh? And I said, now, look, which would you want? Well, I don't know about you, but I'd take the average wholesome, I believe. Wouldn't you? There are many people tonight in this area and all over the world that are taking poison bread. Tastes better tonight. What a fool. What a fool. That's what it says here. Stolen water is asleep and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there. That's poison bread and poison water, he said. And that her guests are in the depths of hell. Men, you've heard me say it again and again and again. But I believe this. I believe that any man in this world, and since I'm in this building tonight, I believe any man in this building can be clean. I believe that. I don't think your mind has to be a cesspool of evil thoughts. I don't think you have to look at dirty calendars and dirty magazines. I don't think you have to flirt with bad women. I don't think you have to have your fling in the world. A man said to me not long ago, said, well, does an ill man, has an ill man done something wrong with a woman sometime? And I said, no. Man, you can be sure. Every one of you can. You can be sure. Ladies, married ladies I'm talking about, you can be upright and clean and pure. You can have minds that are clean. Oh, it's so awful when a person gets a place that every time he looks at a person of the opposite sex, all he thinks about is something dirty. Oh, this wicked generation which we live. Rise above that. Rise above it. And young people, you can be clean too. I don't care if it is the 20th century. I don't care if Hollywood is as rotten as the devil. I don't care if everything is temptation. I don't care if there are nude pictures on every magazine. I don't care if the papers are filled with nude women. I don't care. I don't care if you do live in Chicago area and catching that region where there are millions of people. I don't care. You still can be clean. You can be pure. Tonight there comes a call from the dark. Beautiful call. Getting one out is everything sexy. Can't even get a weather report without hearing somebody saying, hello, can I come in tonight? I've been waiting for you. It is warm and fair. Weather is, the temperature is 64. I'll be seeing you tomorrow. Oh, brother. I don't care. I still think you can just think. So as the call comes from the dark and quiet and seductive lady with her bed decked with tapestry and perfume and aloes. Over here on the other side is a big house with beautiful pillars. Not much, not many bright lights and don't have very good smelling perfume. There's something about those girls over there that gals over here don't have. He's over here have real eyelashes. I have seen some ladies come to this church and I hope they didn't cry. If they had, they'd be ready for Halloween. They have their own eyebrows over here. Over here, they struck them out and paint them back on. Over here, you know what she looks like before she washes her face. Over here, you never know. You think she might be pretty behind all of that? Over here, there's a sweet smile of innocence. They blush over here, they don't over here. They're not as flashy over here, but after you look at them a while, I believe they're prettier. There's a certain look about them, a certain smile they have that doesn't appeal to you immediately like the guy over here did, but I believe I like it better. I pray God that every young person in this church, every young person in this building, every young person in this choir, and every adult will choose wisdom. As she cries, come to my house. Come to my house. And you someday will take me with a hand and say, Pastor, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
You choose this gal over here, and you'll do what they do by these scores. You'll call me on the phone or come by to see me and say, Pastor, I don't know why I didn't listen to you. I don't know why. I don't know why. Our Heavenly Father, help us to take the story of Proverbs 7 and 9 and see the two suitors as each seeks for the life of a young person. We pray you'll help us to choose wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.